28, Proverbs chapter 28, and we'll look at verse 20. That's where will be our focus this evening. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. It says, A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Let me read it one more time. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Now, we brought one message on faithfulness back in Proverbs 20. Let's go ahead and read that verse 2 while we're there. Well, I'm not going to preach the same message. This will be different. Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone their own goodness. What's it say? A faithful man who can find. So, faithfulness was rare back in Solomon's day. That's what he's saying. That's why it says a faithful man who can find. It gets very difficult at times to find faithful men. And, of course, when you're talking about faithful men, we're also talking about faithful women, too. Certainly, if you're here today and you're a servant of the Lord, if you're saved, then you're a servant of the Lord. And what the Lord expects from His servants is He expects them to be faithful. Because one of these days we'll be called into accountability with what we did with our time here after that we're saved. So you need to think about these kinds of things because I think they're indeed important. Now, one thing that I don't want to get off on this one either, but while you're in Matthew 20, let's go back to Matthew 28. It gives you, right off the bat, it says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. And what we're going to do tonight is show you the blessings of the faithful. And this is going to be the title, the blessings of faithfulness. The blessings of faithfulness. And what I'm going to do is give you about five blessings that are associated with being faithful. Now, the biggest hindrance to faithfulness is given in verse 20. And I want to get this out of the way in the beginning. One of the things that's a great hindrance against people being faithfulness is mentioned in the second part of verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. So it's a description of covetousness. One of the things that can quench out a Christian is covetousness, the pursuit of gain. When you look in the New Testament and you look at the parable of the sower, one group there that is mentioned are those that get wrapped up with the deceitfulness of riches, and they don't produce the fruit in their life that they should. So, I don't know. We live, as we've said many times from the pulpit here, we live in a very covetous society. And people base success based on amounts of money, size of your car, size of your home, size of your bank account, and that's how they register success. And what can happen is people can get so engrossed into those things that what it does, it takes over their life. It becomes a god to them. That's what they live for. That's what their motivation is. And all their days is spent with their time in pursuit of that goal of getting a financial independence or financial wealth so they can sit back and take it easy all their day. So it warns you about that in that same verse, people that make haste to be rich, because the reason why that is that robs a lot of people from being what? Faithful. They're not faithful because they're too busy doing other things and living for other things and doing other things to donate their time to the Lord, or not donate their time, or give their time to the Lord. I want you to understand tonight that if you're here tonight and you're born again, not only are you a child of God, but you're also a servant of God. That's what you became the day that you were saved, is you became a servant. And we talk about this a good bit. We need to talk about it a whole lot more. But our life, once we're born again, once we're saved, our life is about service. That's what it's about. Not about all these other reasons and things that people live their lives for. The main goal of life after you're born again is the service to your God. And everybody here tonight that's born again, saved, not only are you a child of God, but you're also a servant in Him. And in His service, He really don't retire you. There's no retirement in the Lord's service. Now, I may get to where I can't preach or something, but I'm going to serve Him till I die by His grace. I'll serve Him till I die. If all I can do is pray, that's what I'll do. You can accomplish, the Lord can accomplish a lot through prayer, can't He? But I want to serve Him. I want to serve Him till I die. I hope I can preach till I die or till Jesus comes. But if not, I want to serve Him till then. If I get to where I can, I'll train young preachers or something, or I'll do something. Man, I'd clean the floors in the house of God if that's all I could do, but I want to serve Him till I die. And I think that all of God's people need to realize that they are servants. Now, all of us should have the desire, if you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 25, I don't know the exact route I'm going to take. I'm just going to jump in. Matthew chapter 25. I think every one of us, as God's people, should have this text in our mind. Matthew chapter 25. And I think it's verse 21. I can quote it, but I wanted you to see it. It's in the parable of the talents. You can read about that. In the parable of the talents, you have a picture of God's servants taking what their Lord had given them. And it's pictured like sowing seed of some type, or sowing their fields and the text, and or taking whatever the Lord gave them and multiplying it. It's all of that's here. Now notice what it says here to verse 20. And so he that received five talents, this was an amount of money, and they're taking this money and they're using it to bring increase to their Lord. He gives them a different amount. They were to take what God gave them. In the parable of talents, they were to take what God gave them and to use it in His work. And then once their work was done, you have a picture in the parable of the talents of them being called before their king to give a reckoning. To give a reckoning with what they did with what God gave them. And we're all accountable for that. That's what it says here in verse 19, let's begin. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And five talents came and brought other five talents. So he received five talents and he brought other five talents. He took those five talents and he gained five more talents. Now talent is money. It's a measurement of money. And he said, Lord, thou deliverest to me five talents. Behold, I've gained beside them five talents more. So he took, as his servant, he took the master's, what the master gave him, and he took it, and the Lord gained five more talents from that talent. Now I want you to notice what he says to him. This is what I long to hear. Can I say it one more time? This is what I long to hear. You're here tonight and saved, and you're a servant. This should be what you long to hear. And his Lord said unto him, well done. Can you imagine that? And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, but I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And so on. I'm not going to preach the whole message on the parable of talents. I just want you to see the picture from it, that they are servants. And it's a picture of us. We are servants. And what we're to do with our life after that we're born again, the main thing about our life is serving our King. And one of these days, guess what? We got to give a reckoning with what we did with our life after we're born again. I have a fear, and I have a fear about this. I don't want to waste my life. Don't want to waste it. And wouldn't that be a horrible thing for the Lord to save your soul, redeem you, give you everlasting life, make you His child, and then you go about your way and waste it? You don't want to waste your life. You want to take advantage of the time. You want to take advantage of the time that the Lord has given you here. And you serve Him. We serve in different ways. I mean, I'm a pastor, so my service is a little bit different than Brother Mike's and Denver's back there, but we're all servants in a different way. And the main thing in our service is to be what? Faithful. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about faithfulness. Proverbs 20, the text we preached on in the past said, Proverbs 20, verse 6, a faithful man who can what? Who can find? They're difficult to find. And guess what? They're getting even more difficult to find today. In churches, what a lot of times you'll find that you have is we have a good sized membership here now. But in a membership, you also have amongst that massive or that big number, you have a core. And you know what the core is? Core is the faithful. The core is the one that does most of the work. The core is the one that does most of the giving. It's a core of people that does it. Not all does it. Not all does it. But there is a core of people that do. And what I'm trying to tell you is you want to be a part of that faithful core. And the Lord will bless you for that. Never forget that you're a servant. So what our text is tonight, a faithful man shall abound with what? A faithful man shall abound with blessings. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. And what I want to do tonight is I want to talk about what some of those blessings are. I want to talk about what some of those blessings are. Now that we've introduced what we're doing tonight, you think it's interesting. I hope you do. I think it's important to think about our service. Now, I try to watch after my own. That's a full-time job, is it not? And we should all try to watch after ourselves, I think. Police ourselves with regard to our service. Again, what are we going to do in heaven? You ever think about when we go to heaven, what are we going to do there? But Revelation 22 and verse 3, you know what it says? It talks about God's servants in heaven. In Revelation 22 and verse 3, here's what it says we'll do. It says, and my servants will serve me. That's exactly what it says. My servants will do what? Will serve me. And you know what? This side of glory, the greatest times on earth I've had is serving God. Serving Him, worshiping, singing to Him, teaching His book, talking to His people. Service. And that's what we'll do now. Our service is no doubt will be different. I don't know exactly what we'll do there, but I know we'll serve Him. And it'll be a joyous service. And when you're serving the Lord now, it's indeed a blessing. All right. The blessings of faithfulness. The blessings of faithfulness is what we're going to be looking at. Let's turn to the Gospel of John chapter 15. It's already 9 o'clock back there according to that clock. So I need to kick it up, I guess, a little bit. They don't ever change the hour on it. See, they want me to think about that a little bit, so I'll quit. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. What is it they used to say? What's it mean when a Baptist preacher looks up at the clock? You know what it means? Absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing when he looks up at a clock. John chapter 15. Now we're looking at the blessings of faithfulness. The first blessing is those that have are faithful have a close walk with the Lord. They have a close walk with the Lord, and that's what's the sign. That's what's described here in John chapter 15. He's talking about fruitfulness, and he describes himself as a vine. Like a grapevine, if you want to say it that way. He describes himself as a vine. And then he's talking to his disciples and he says, you are the branches. I'm the main trunk, but you are the branches. And we're pictured as being in him. Now, I want you to notice what he says in verse 5. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much what?
Fruit.
It brings forth a lot of fruit. And fruit is works. Fruit is doing works. Fruit is service. And the key to producing fruit is doing what? Abiding in the vine. Keeping good, close contact with the Lord. Those that have a close walk with Jesus are faithful people. You don't see anybody that has a close walk with Jesus that's not faithful. So that's one of the things that faithful people, one of the blessings of the faithful people is they have a close walk with the, they have a close walk with the Lord. You know, now, beloved, that's the key to joy. I tell you, everybody looks for joy in things. And even people that make professions of faith in Jesus, they do the same thing. They look for joy all these different ways. But I'm going to tell you tonight, a close walk with Jesus will make you happy if you know the Lord. That's the key to it. And the closer the walk, the greater the joy. But you drift away from the Lord and the contact with the Lord as it should be, one of the things that you'll find is that you'll lose your joy. You'll lose your contentment. You'll lose your happiness. And it's just a miserable life to live in that kind of situation. So you got to have a close walk. You got to have a close walk with Him. And in order to have a close walk, you got to keep close contact with Him. How do you keep contact with the Lord? Well, one of the ways is what you're doing tonight by coming to His house is one of the ways that you do it. Spending time in prayer with Him. Talking to Him. You need a prayer time. Brother Daniel had a prayer time. He prayed three times a day. He even had a place where he prayed and met with the Lord. You can do that too, can't you? That's a great way to serve the Lord. If you pray, it'll have a tremendous ability to raise you up. It'll make you walk that much closer. You'll never see anybody that has a close walk that doesn't pray. That'll always be a part of it. So here he says you need to abide in the vine. And you do that through prayer. You do that through taking in His Word. These are all things. And then what happens as a result of that close contact? What happens? They bring forth much what? Fruit. See, a close walk is the key to joy and fruitfulness. It's the key to joy and fruitfulness. Let's go to verse 8. It said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bring much fruit." So a faithful person, one of the first blessings of a faithful person, when you're talking about someone that's faithful, that's a person that has a close walk. You don't have a close walk without faithfulness. Let me say it one more time. You don't have a close walk without faithfulness. You have to be faithful. And what's faithfulness mean? It means steady. It means steady. It's consistently doing the things you need to do in order to be strong, in order to be close. It's being steady. That's what being faithful is. What happens is people's not steady. They're inconsistent. And you've got to keep that contact constantly. And as a result of that, what'll happen? You'll have a close walk. Turn to the book of the Numbers, chapter 12. We can look at a lot of men that had this close walk. That's one of the blessings of faithfulness. And one of my favorite people in the Word is Moses. Love Moses. Moses was faithful in all his house, wasn't he? Man, you're talking about a faithful man Moses was. Don't y'all agree? He's faithful. He's been a whole, he held up a whole lot better than I would have. Oh, he had about probably 3 million people. 600,000 men, probably more than that. I mean, he led that many people and he led them out into a wilderness and all they did was whine. Whine, whine, whine. That's all they did. I can't stand that. I can't always stand that from a few, but I could imagine that being into the millions. I mean, that's what they did a lot of. But Brother Moses never, he would, anytime hardship came, he'd fall on his face and he'd pray, and then he just kept right on serving. He kept right on serving. That's what it says in verse 6. This is when Miriam and Aaron kind of challenged his leadership. Now I want you to listen to what this says about what God said about Moses. And look what it says, verse 6. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you," is what the Lord's telling Miriam. "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant." That's what he calls Moses. That's what he calls it. "My servant Moses is not so. Him. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. What to say he was? He was faithful. Notice he mentions him specifically as being faithful. He's faithful in all my house. With him I will speak to mouth to mouth. Even apparently and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Therefore were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. So it says that Moses was faithful. But what also went with that faithfulness? He had a close walk. And that's one of the blessings of being faithful. Those that are faithful also have a close walk. They have a close walk with the Lord. Can I ask you a question? How is your walk? How is your walk with the Lord? Would you say you got a close walk with Him? You know, you can be as close to Him as you want to be. There's no question on His part with regard to Him wanting to have time with you, are there? Really, there is no question on His part about that. So you can spend just as much time. And the more time you spend with Him, what's the result of that? Yeah, well, it makes you have a closer walk with Him. Number two. Blessing number two of faithfulness. Not only does it give you a close walk, but it gives you a greater influence. Faithful people have a greater influence over folk. You want to have a good what? You want to have a good influence. You not only want to have a close walk with the Lord, but you also want to have a great influence. And people who have a close walk usually always have a great influence. We want to have an impact over folk. You want to have an impact over young people, don't you? I mean, you that are older here, most of the young people are next door, but you want to have an impact over the young people. The older people in the church, they'll look to as examples. And they need to be able to follow our examples. So, the second blessing of faithfulness is they have people that are faithful have a greater what? They have a greater influence. They have a greater influence. Turn to the book of Joshua chapter 24. Joshua had a great influence. Many of the men of God that you read about in the Bible, they had a great influence over folk. Man, I don't want to do anything that would kill or hurt my influence. Your influence is also your testimony. Joshua chapter 24. Let's notice what it says at the verse 29. And it came to pass after these things. And we're talking about Joshua. This is Joshua chapter 24. And notice what it says, verse 29. It came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant, what's it call him again? Here he calls him a servant again. Moses was called a what? He was called a servant. All God's people are servants. What servants do again? They serve. How long do they serve? They say, you're going to serve up till you die in glory. Your service never stops. And if you're serving like you should, it gives you a close walk with Him. And it gives you great influence. Look at verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord died, and he was at 110, and they buried him. And it gives you the place, Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the south side of the hill of Gaash. Now watch his influence now. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Y'all think that's influence? Yeah, they served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. So, the second blessing of faithfulness is it gives you a good influence. You want to have a good influence. You want to be able to impact other people. They should be able to look at your life and you can be an influence. Hey, can I ask you a question? Y'all all here tonight. Who's been an influence in your life? Who's been an influence in your Christian life? Think about this for a little bit. Think back over the years and think about who has been an influence, who the Lord placed in your life, and they were an influence over you. And you look to their example, and they were an impact in your life. That's one of the blessings of faithfulness. We've noticed two so far. One is a close walk. You don't see anybody that's faithful that don't have a close walk with the Lord. Number two, second thing is it gives you a greater influence, and you want to have an influence over people. You want to have an impact. You want for people to be able to follow your example. And you ever hear anybody say, oh, don't you do as I say, don't do as I do. Well, that's hypocrisy. You should do what you say, and you should set an example for others to follow, especially for our younger people. The younger people need to see that in you. They need to see you serving the Lord, and they need to see you what else? They need to see you faithful. That's another blessing of faithfulness. Blessing number three. Those that are faithful also have a greater joy. When you're faithful to the Lord, one of the things that you'll notice is that you're happier. When you're a servant of the Lord and you're faithful to His work and to His word and to prayer and to His house and you're faithful to Him in your service, one of the things you'll notice that it'll do is it'll give you a greater joy. If you stop serving the Lord like you once did, look, beloved, the Lord don't retire you. We serve till we die or till the Lord comes. Christians that serve the Lord are the happiest, are the happier Christians. You don't ever stop serving Him. I told you this in the past before about the preacher's wife in a horrible car accident, paralyzed her from the neck down. She was a very active woman. She did a lot of things. Pastor's wives do. And, a lot of those things she couldn't do anymore because she couldn't move. She's in a hospital. I couldn't even imagine that. Could you? In a hospital bed. So, she said, well, this is what it is. But she figured she is still a servant. She just needed some way to change what she did. And what could she do? You know what she could still do, beloved? She could still pray. So what people would do is they'd come and they would go where her bed was and they'd post a little like a postie note or stick it there somehow. And all around her bed was notes. And that's how she served the Lord all of her days. I don't know how long she lived, but all of her days she served the Lord by praying. She prayed. And people thought, a lot of people thought she accomplished more in her latter years than she did in her earlier years because she became a prayer warrior. So, you have a close walk with Him. You also, one of the blessings is you have a greater joy. If you're not serving the Lord like you should, there's nothing this side of glory will make you happy. You're not happy if you're a servant unless you're serving. And that's what you want to do. Different ways you can do it, but you must do it. Blessing number four. Those who are faithful also, the fourth blessing is they're given greater responsibility. Let's turn to look at Nehemiah chapter 7. Look at Nehemiah chapter 7. I talked through that a few years back. I really enjoy teaching through it. Look at Nehemiah chapter 7. Now, I will sum all these up here in just a little bit. Nehemiah chapter 7. Blessing number 4. Blessing number 4. The first blessing of faithfulness is closer walk. Closer walk with Jesus gives you joy. If you're not close in your walk, you won't have joy. Won't have it if you're born again. Blessing number 2 is a greater influence. It's the second blessing of being faithful. Number 3 is you have a greater joy. You have a greater joy. Of course, joy is one of the keys to joy is that closeness with the Lord. We talked about that. Then blessing number 4, Nehemiah chapter 7, that's what this says. Nehemiah chapter 7, that's what it says in verse 1 and 2. Nehemiah 7, 1 and 2. Now it came to pass when the wall was built, we built a wall around Jerusalem. That's what the book of Nehemiah is about. Building the wall. Now it came to pass when the wall was built, Nehemiah was a faithful man. And I set up the doors and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed. They started worship again. You got the wall set up again. Book of Ezra, they rebuilt the temple. Book of Nehemiah, they rebuilt the wall. Now watch this now. That I gave my brother Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. Now why did he give him that position? What's it say? Why did he give him the position of being over Jerusalem? What does it say about him? He was a what? He was a faithful man. You want people in charge of things that are faithful. I've heard people say this over the years. I haven't heard it much here, but I've heard it. We need to give them a job in the church and then they'll be faithful. Well, they shouldn't have a job in the church if they're not faithful. Faithfulness is a key to them. I've heard that a lot of them. Oh, we'll give them a job and that'll make them faithful. They need to be faithful because that's what's right. They need to be faithful because they're a servant and they're working for the Lord all their days. Well, the blessing number four of faithfulness is you're given greater responsibility. Greater responsibility. When the Bible says he that is faithful that which is least will be faithful in that which is great. He that is unfaithful in that which is least will be unfaithful in that which is great. So, blessing number four is they're given greater responsibility. You want to be faithful in whatever the Lord's called you to do. Before I began to be a pastor, I was a Sunday school teacher. I taught teen boys. Nobody wanted them boys. Their class dean was right up there. You remember that? Nobody wanted to go in that class upstairs. Because the boys were pretty rough. They were. And I started teaching them when I wasn't a whole lot older than them either. But I started teaching them when I was in my late teens. And one of the blessings of that was is as I learned more, and I learned more. You know, when you're a teacher, you learn more and more. I wanted to be there every Sunday. I wanted them to see me in church, too. Hector, you was one of them, wasn't you? Yeah, you was. I remember you. I wanted them to, JP was one of them. Think about them boys. JP was in there, all them different ones. But I wanted to be faithful at it. Now, they weren't the easiest ones to teach. They were pretty rough, wasn't they, heck? A lot of them boys are pretty, but I wanted to teach them about the Lord. Now, I just teach about 5 minutes because that's about all you could. But as they grew, it got longer. As they grew, it got longer. And I served in there. That's what I did. I ran with the boys. I'd take them places. I run with them. Tried to be a what? Tried to have a influence over them. So that was something that was smaller. But it grows as it grows over time. I mean, you're faithful in smaller things, then you'll be faithful in greater things. So, fourth blessing of faithfulness is it gives you greater responsibility. And then last of all, blessing number five, fifth blessing of faithfulness is the ultimate thing, and I mentioned it at the beginning, and I want to mention it at the end, is to receive that great commendation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's a great commendation, isn't it? Wouldn't you desire to hear that? Don't you have a great desire? You say, is that a big motivator to you? It is. It is. When I started serving the Lord back in my teens again and wanted to be faithful, I remember came to a seminar Brother Hollis had organized, and the first time Brother Overby ever come here. The Lord was dealing with me strong there. I was about probably 13, 14 years old. Oh, the Lord was all over me during that time. And he preached on rewards, and he preached on service, and he preached on these things in Revelations and things. Man, the Lord had been dealing with me a while, and I was going home. I don't know if you remember this or not, but when you, I rode with you and went home with you. And I remember when we was going home, I said, you know, Mom, I hope one of these days, when I stand before the King, he can say, well done. And that was a motivator all the way back then. And I want you to understand, that's a motivator all the way down to the day. And that should be a motivator for you. Never forget, one of these days, you're going to give a reckoning with what you did, with what God gave you. He didn't save you for you to serve covetousness. He didn't save you for you to serve the world. He saved you to serve Him. And our service is always going to be different. But isn't it a great blessing to serve Him in whatever capacity it may be? It's a great blessing. This message title was the blessings of faithfulness. Blessing number one, it gives you a closer walk. Blessing number two, it gives you greater influence. It gives you greater joy. Blessing number four, those who are faithful get greater responsibility. Faithful in least, you'll be faithful in that which is great. Then blessing number five is those who are faithful will receive great commendation from the King. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. All God's people said,
amen.
Yes, all stand. Thank you.